Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I think about our church. I think about the people in our church a lot. And there are times when I suppose we're just like any other person or any other group. And we're out of sorts or we're cranky, to say the very least. Some people are laughing. They've seen me cranky. But, you know, I remember a story about a church that was organized in such a way that the pastor or chairman or someone stood up and told everybody that there were currently 120 people in the church, and everybody rejoiced at that. They thought that that was a kind of a milestone. They knew they couldn't afford their own building. But they could afford to rent a place. And so they did. There was a lot of discussion about leadership positions and things, you know, going on with the church and whether or not the deacons were active or inactive or whether this was going or that was going. And you know, everybody had an opinion. You know what it's said by an old Aggie joke, and I'm not offending any Aggie here, because I know the place is filled with Aggies. But wherever two Aggies are together, you have six opinions. And that is true with us. And so they had lots of opinions, and they were talking about these things, but that was about all that was going on. They didn't know anything about outreaching to their community because they were so small and they didn't have any money. And besides, most of the people that they had were older. And besides that, the culture in which they wanted to take the message didn't want to hear it. As a matter of fact, they were kind of against it to begin with. And it would mean certain kind of suffering if you went out into this particular culture and proclaimed, you know, hey, this is a Bible and I believe it and all that kind of thing. They would think that you were racist or prejudiced or you know, something. Anything except a good person. And so they had a lot of fear. And so the place that they met was basically just for themselves. They became comfortable and complacent. Maybe you have been a part of a church like that. That was the only church there was when Jesus ascended into heaven. He left about 120 people. People who knew that he had died for them on the cross, that he had been raised from the dead, that he had ascended into heaven. But they really wanted to kind of hold that knowledge in because sharing it would be difficult, if not impossible. So they focused on themselves, their own internal organization, and how they were building this or not building that, or how they were going to save up money for this or for that, or how they were going to do this and that, how they were going to do it, not how God was going to do it. And so nothing much was happening inside the church, or certainly outside the church. The will of God was just simply not being done. That all happened, and it's recorded in Acts, because people did not put God first. They put their own creature comforts first. They were not a sanctuary. They were not a living sanctuary, except for those who, people who were just like them. That's the reason that so many churches fail today. You go to churches and they're all lily white, or they're all black, or they're all Hispanic, or they're all Asian, or they're all something, because like people gather together. And it's why, in America, the most segregated hour in the week is Sunday morning in a worship service. Look around you. There are people who may not be just like you, but they're just like God, made in God's own image. It is easy to pretend we're something we're not until God comes in. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, I know that the message that You placed on my heart is a message that would offend a lot of people because it is true. But Father, if there is something that I would say that is not in perfect keeping with Your word and with Your will, then I pray You will cast it out. That no one here will hear it. No one on television will hear it. No one who watches us on live streaming will hear it. Nobody will hear it. But they will only hear the words of life and death, because those are words that come from You. Father, we pray that we have entered this place to receive You, not to receive entertainment, not to receive anything for us, but that we may at this moment give ourselves to You. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. May You come in mighty ways, revealing who Jesus is, revealing who the Father is, revealing who You are to each and every one who has an open heart, who has ears to hear. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us read together. I'm going to, first of all, start in Acts 2. And Acts 2, 5 through 8. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" You know, when Jesus spoke the words to the congregation, they heard them, but they didn't believe them. They seemed to be hard of hearing. They hadn't put in their hearing aids that day. There was some excuse that they had because they just simply did not believe Jesus' promises were for them. Jesus told them these things with happen in a few days, but they turned away. They turned away from the promise of God. But Jesus' promise was true, and they didn't have long to wait to see these things occur. Just 10 days after His ascension. 10 short days. My wife is going to be gone for 2 weeks to England. All things go well, she'll be back the 26th of this month. She told me that I'd better water her backyard. That if a flower dies, I'm going to be held accountable. I heard her say those words. Why is it that I can hear the words of a spouse and not hear the words of God? Why do we as people continuously listen to things that would distract us instead of to God? 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the most amazing thing that the world had ever seen, that God with us arose from the dead. He was alive again. Praise God, His promises are true. And because He is alive again, we too shall live again. It was the harvest festival, a festival called Pentecost. 50 days after the Easter celebration, there was Pentecost. The first fruits came through that harvest festival. It is also the time that God gave to Moses the law of the people. And it was a time when the Holy Spirit was poured out in great abundance, not just on leadership, but on every believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit was poured out on every believer. And things would never be the same again. Look at the next verses here. Look at, first of all, let's go to Acts 6. Acts 6. Verses 1 and 2. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "Is it not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables?" The answer, of course, is yes. They received on the day of Pentecost great gifts. But one of the greatest gifts of all was the gift of service, that they were to serve one another, that they were to love one another as God had loved them, that they were to show forth that love in tangible ways, not simply in ways that they hadn't heard. When the day of Pentecost, this is chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The mighty rushing wind is sometimes descriptive of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It comes in like a mighty rushing wind. It is also the breath of God, the breath that the Spirit gives. The Hebrew word for it is rush. It almost sounds like a mighty rushing wind. Rush. It is a rush. Can you hear it? Have you heard it? It is coming. And it is coming to all the 120. Imagine for a moment that you're a part of the 120 people sitting in that room. Well, you don't have much. Maybe you don't look like they do at some big fancy church someplace. Maybe you're dressed in jeans, or maybe you've got tattoos all over you, or maybe you've got this, or maybe you've got that. You don't measure up in the eyes of anyone but God. But God is the one you must measure up in front of. And so you're sitting there, and this breath doesn't just come selectively. It doesn't just go to Peter. It doesn't just go to John or any of the disciples. It comes to all, the mighty rushing wind of God. That rush. It is the breath of God, and nobody here needs to say you didn't inhale. Some people say, oh, I didn't inhale this, I didn't inhale that. Forget that. When it is a mighty rushing breath of God, you better inhale. You better fill your lungs. This has happened twice before in the Bible. In Genesis, God breathed on man. He was just a lump of clay, a bunch of bones, some of the bones taken from the woman. He was there. He was dead in his sins like you and me. And God breathed on him, rushed on him, and he became a living soul. Breathe. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit of God. And they understood. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they understood that the mighty rushing sound of wind meant that they were all in the presence of God. That the God wanted to come into them. That wind, that rush, wanted to come in and give them life, a new life. Jesus makes all things new. Wanted to come into them. So, as they said in that upper room, I've been in that upper room, or where they say it was. Sometimes when you're singing in the dome of the place is reverberating with the sound, you can feel the Spirit of God there. I have felt it various places. I have felt it in the ruins, the bombed out ruins of a great cathedral in England, Coventry Cathedral. I didn't find it in the new place, the new structure that is all modern art. But I did find it grabbed me and touched me and breathed on me as I stood in the ruins. It breathed on my whole family. My whole family could feel it. The mighty rushing wind of God, the breath of God, just as God had breathed into Adam, just as Jesus was sending his disciples. Now God is breathing life into a church. And into a church at this point that was nothing but a corpse. It didn't do anything. It was all for them. It was a social club. They had secret handshakes. They had this and that and the other. It was not a church of Jesus Christ. Jesus was sending his Holy Spirit to breathe into the people of the church. It was a new vision. Until then, the Holy Spirit had come upon men, but hadn't come in men. It had come upon them. And David would say, oh, don't take your Spirit from me. I like it. I like it when the Spirit is around me. Don't take it from me. But now, something new is happening. The Spirit is coming in to a dead body. Someone who is dead in their sins. It is coming in to a dead church. Someplace that hasn't seen a baptism in 100 years. It is seen to be coming in to men. Try to imagine that you were part of that 120 people gathered in a room. That great rush has come into you and awaken you, and you're alive. And suddenly, there is a ball of fire, great balls of fire, the song goes. There's a ball of fire in the room. You're shocked. You're awake. You're shocked. But the ball breaks out into 120 little fingers of flames. Again, they don't go just onto the ones that have been anointed by the people, ones that have been called out by the Master. It goes to every single solitary believer. That flame is flickering. The flames of tongues are flickering over every believer. This is the second sign. The first is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The second is the flaming power of God. When have you seen that before in the Bible? Twice? You saw it in the burning bush when the bush that was burning was not consumed. It was a fire that had its origin not in the fuel that it used. It did not burn the bush. It was the presence of God. You remember Moses took off his sandals because the ground was holy ground. God said, I am that I am. God is saying again to all those people sitting in that room, I am that I am. And He was there with them, that consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. But the people weren't burnt. Neither was the bush burnt. Was one of those things that happened to the people that were there. Flames of fire had descended on them. God had come again into their very presence. It wasn't that they had sought out God so much as that God knew where they were and He came to them. You remember that Jesus said, listen, you stay in that room until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You remember the words of John the Baptist? John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus would one day baptize not with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. And so the fire of God came. The God who gave us the fire on the mountaintop, you remember? And none of the trees were burned. It was not like a conflagration like they have in Canada today where the forests are all burning. No, there was a smoke and there was a fire, the flame of God as He spoke, and it frightened the people. And they said to Moses, go up and see God because we don't want to. You go and be our person. You go and whatever He tells you, we'll do. Did they do it? Of course not. But God is telling them once again, He's delivering once again His presence to His people. There is no greater joy in all the world than to be in the presence of God. There is no greater power in all the world to be in the presence of God. God, who is a consuming fire, is commissioning every believer in advance to achieve His purpose in the world. To have a flame that never goes out. To have the Spirit of God within you all the time, filling you up, constantly filling you up. The presence and power of God rest on every single solitary believer in the world. Every person who's in the Middle East and believes, God's presence rests on you. Every believer in America that believes, God's presence rests on them. It doesn't matter what race they are, what class they come from. It doesn't make any difference when he's in India or where he's in China or wherever he is. God is every place, and wherever the believers are, there is God with them. Saying, I am who I am. Verse 4. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There have been a lot of fights over this. Goodness gracious, churches have split over this. I'm going to jump right into it because the power of God says jump right into it. Get right into it. And so basically these people were able to speak languages they had not learned. Jesus was going to tell them to go into all the nation groups of the world and to go into every tongue and tribe and tell them the gospel. How are these unlearned men going to do that? Well, the divine power of God showed how it was going to happen. It happened twice before. Tower of Babel is a story of men whose ambition got before God, and they were on their way, boy. They were ignoring God. They were building a tower up to heaven. They were trying to get to heaven their own way. They were trying to buy their way in. They were trying to use a battering ram to get in, and God came down and confused their language and therefore their thoughts. And they could no longer do what they had set their minds to do. Their minds were set on things that God never intended for us to do. There are things in our society. I heard a news program today where people said, well, we just have to wait a few years until the culture catches up with where the administration already is. Baloney! We catch up to where the administration tells us we should be, or where Congress tells us who we should be, where the wise people tell us we should be. We'll be in hell. We don't need to catch up. They need to catch up. They need to be caught up with us in the rapture. They need to be caught up with us in the Holy Spirit of God. They need to be caught up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the fire came down. These people understood that even though God had no place in their plans, the Tower of Babel, He had made a place. They were determined to take control themselves. Does that sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me. It was a mindset that came to all the people in Jerusalem, a place that was set aside to be a house of prayer had become a den of thieves. And all these people who came, all these people who were church people, who came into the temple and gave their money, their temple money, they exchanged with the money exchangers there. They exchanged the coin of the realm for the money that was minted by the temple. They took that money and they bought animals, animals that were sick, animals that were not worthy to be sacrificed. They bought them because it was the only thing available to buy and because these people were franchised by the church. That sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me. So here we go. The church had been like a lifeless corpse. Now life was breathed into it. God came down and confused the language and the thought process of the people. God confused the sinful hearts of men. On the day of Pentecost, the wind blew, His fire fell, and His Spirit came to give illumination, anointing, and boldness were given to every one that was there. Without regard to their skin color, without regard to their education, without regard to their wealth, without regard to any other thing but that they had called upon the name of Jesus. Peter spoke, it says, to that confused crowd. In verse 38. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Verse 38. He says, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We all know that 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ that day. The church had been a lifeless corpse, and now life filled it by the breath of God's Holy Spirit. They became a missionary church. They were reaching out to their culture and to all races and to all various people groups. They were on fire because God had set them aflame. They could speak to others because they knew it. When I was at First Baptist in Houston, John Bassanio told a story about a girl who had gone on a mission trip. They thought that it was a kind of a mission trip. Went to Glorieta. I suppose that's a mission trip. And they went up there, and this girl got to talking to an Indian, an American Indian, and she was trying to relate the gospel. And suddenly, this young man who had been totally cold against the gospel of Jesus Christ began to weep. Great tears ran down his face. And the girl was puzzled. And she said to him, she said, "Why are you weeping?" He said, "Because you told me the gospel in my own language." He heard in his native language the good news of Jesus Christ. I have been many times to someone in need in the middle of the night, the early morning hours. Someone has died suddenly in their home as a chaplain for the fire and police departments of this city for 15 years. And as I go, I pray that God's presence will be within me. And I have noted that on many occasions it's nothing that I say that makes any difference. They hear the voice of God even though I can't preach it. Even though the powers that be have invested in me a certain right to be there, they will not allow me the right to give them life. But God gives them life anyway. He gives them comfort anyway. Peter told these confused people, these people who had come from every nation in the world, who had come there to buy the fraud of the temple, came to a place that was meant for prayer but that had become a den of thieves, to participate in the fraud. But Peter said, "Come and believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And they believed. Well, some of you may say, "Well, that's wonderful, Pastor, but it's great. Well, what does it have to do with me?" God anoints His people and the whole church for His purpose of reaching the world. He places within you all the gifts you could possibly need and then places you in your own missionary place. It is not, in my opinion, a happenstance, a coincidence, that Anda, who has been a missionary here at home and abroad, and that Bob and Bobby, who are missionaries every place they go, are going to the same place, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the very midst of them. It is not surprising to me that when people come here on Tuesdays looking for food, they find the authentic love of Christ, that they are moved by that more than they are the loaves of bread or the pounds of fish or chicken or anything else they receive. Not surprising, because God has placed within you the gifts. His spiritual DNA came within you when you received Christ. All the gifts you need to carry out His purposes are there, available. On Wednesday night, somebody asked, "Why don't people unwrap the gifts?" Well, they don't unwrap the gifts because they're afraid, they're frightened. And God did not give you that spirit of fear, but a spirit of a right mind and a boldness. God gives you that kind of straight thinking. You can't be sidetracked by anything. Now, there are too many people in our culture who are fascinated with the gifts. They're more fascinated with the gifts than they are with the giver. I want to speak with tongues. I've even met people that would for a price, teach you to speak in a tongue. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've met people that would just do anything it was necessary to do. Have you saved? Quote, unquote. That's not what God's doing. God doesn't want us to seek after the power, the flame, even the rush, the wind of God. He wants us to seek after Him. He is in the flames. He is in the sound of the rush. He is in the tongues that people hear in their own language. And He may give you tongues to speak in a language that you know not of, then you better do it. I have quite often said that if God wants you to jump the pews, and Brother Bob tells me that when we used to have pews that He would jump the pews if I wasn't careful. I said, well, go ahead and jump them, brother. If God tells you to do it, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. If God tells you to walk like a duck, then you better be a duck. You better quack like a duck. You better be a duck. It makes me angry when denominations say to their missionaries, well, you have to take a pledge to us that's more important than your pledge to God. I get angry because God is God. And if God wants you to do something, He will gift you to do it. He will enable you by that gift to do it. But there are some people that seek out the gift more than they seek out God. You can't have the gift unless you have God. But if you have God, then the power of Pentecost has come upon you. Jesus said, I make all things new. He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He is making you into that new creature. As we sit here today, as I stand here today, He is making us, transforming us into the image of His own beloved Son. Today is a day where we have to choose. Will we be a corpse? Or will we assume the mantle that God places on every human heart? Will you be what God calls you to be? Will you allow Him to come into your life, to breathe on you, to send His tongues of fire that won't burn you, but that will inflame your heart with a constant living flame that never goes out? Will you speak for Him in whatever language God gives you? Will you boldly go into this culture of ours and take the church with you? The greatest sign I've ever seen beside a church was the sign that said, the church is leaving this place and will congregate in the places that God leads us. Into the workplace, in the school, into your homes, everywhere. Will you submit to that today?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.